Yeah, this week is Parshas Achrimos. Achrimos, the beginning of the parsha, discussed in very, very detail the Seder Ho'avoida Shel Yoim HaKippurim. Now, let me be makim. I'm about to say with a general question. We lay in the Aseres Hadibros three times a year. We lay in it on the anniversary of Matan Torah, Shavuos. We lay in it on Parshas Yisroi, and we lay in it the second time in Parshas Voeschanan. Now, let's put aside Voeschanan for the moment. In general, which of the two times, from which of the three times that we lain the Aseres Hadibros would you expect to be the most significant, the most valuable? So you would say, of course, Shavuos. And Shavuos is the Zman Matan Torasenu. It's the Zman when the Torah was given. And we are reenacting Matan Torah. And in fact, some learn that's why the only time that it's proper, this used to be a minig, we don't do it today anymore, but it used to be the only time you lay in Tam Elyoin is on Shavuos, because that's the reenactment of Matan Torah. But when you lay in Parashas Yisro, in the Seder, when you go through the parashos, it's just the middle of the winter. It's the middle of the winter. There's no need to get all worked up. It's just part of the parashios, so you lay in it like you lay in the regular psukim, no big deal. Many of the commentators say just the opposite. They say that when you lay in Parshas Yisro, the Aseres Hadibros, that is more significant. How could that possibly be? Because we all know that when you go to a show and you have a good time and you get a little happy and merry, when the show is over, it's business as usual. All of the smoke and mirrors are very, very short-lived. Matan Torah was, wow, Hashem came down, smoke and mirrors, and it was l'mala miderech hatem. But that is not the world of reality. After Matan Torah was over, you go back to work, you live a regular life, and you live according to the laws of nature. And no, it was a nice experience. You have nice, pleasant memories, but it's not very practical to live in a world that's a fantasy world. These things don't happen every day when Hashem comes down from Shemayim and Koylo Subrakim, Kol Gadol V'lo Yosef. When you lay the Aseres Hadibros, part of your routine, it's part of the Seder Hadvarim. You go through, this is life. This is natural. This is part of the routine of life. That's what stays, that's what stays with you. That's part of life. The same is true for everything. And that includes the Avoida of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a big day. We gear up 40 days in advance. Rosh Chodesh Elul, we blow shofar, and we say slichos, and we get all worked up, and then comes Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we go higher, 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 and we then come to the climax, we come to Yom HaKippurim, and you come to shul dressed in the talus and the kittel, all wrapped up, and you're fasting, Yidomim L'malachim. Very nice. Is that very practical? It's very beautiful and it's necessary and it's a very holy day, no question about it. Rabbi Yisai, how long does that feeling last? It's very, very short-lived. The next day, it's business doesn't even last to Shemona Esrei. V'hurachot, the time they blow shofar until the split second when you're davening Ma'ariv, you already have to say v'hurachot yichaper avon. What did you do already? What did you do? You did a lot in that split second from the time they finished, they blew shofar until you said. However, this week we're laying the avoida of Yom HaKippurim, Kiddusha Kisidra. It's part of our routine. Now, let me add to that by explaining that this year, I always knew that the leap year is the real year. Not a regular year, because in a leap year, you lay pretty much only one parsha at a time. When you have to go and lay two parshios, bundle them together, something is wrong. If the leap year would be the anomaly, then it should be that every year we lane one parsha at a time, and in a leap year we only lane a half of a parsha. The fact that every single year, that in the leap year, we lane one parsha at a time. In fact, you know, it's very, very rare where you lane the whole year. It only happens very rare. It happened a couple of years ago where you lane mamish every one parsha at a time. 54. Okay, but that's the real deal. That's the real year when you lane one parsha at a time. And then the regular year, you know, you're in a rush. You got a group together. So this year is the real year. It's the real deal. And when it's the real deal, what parsha do you always lane when Pesach is over? You lane the first parsha, you lane happened like 3 years ago, happened this year, when the leap year, you lane parshas acharemas. Now that's by design. That's not an accident. That's part of our routine. It's part of our routine. Why? It's the famous in Dayenu. We actually mentioned this last year, or maybe 3 years ago, maybe I did, I don't know, but in the Dayenu, what do we do in the Dayenu? In the Haggadah, we say Ilulot, Mishraim, we go through the entire sequence. And each one of the items that we mention, we conclude with Dayenu. And then at the very, very end, we review. We review the entire Al-Acha. We do the end, just turn to the page. We add one more thing. Give me a moment to get to the page. So many mafarshim, I can't find the Haggadah. Oh, here it is, okay. We go through all of the Dayenus, one at a time. Dayenu, the last Dayenu, the Ilu Hichni Sanu Le Eretz Yisrael V'loi Vanu Lanu Espeis HaBechira. Dayenu, if you would have taken us into Eretz Yisrael and not built for us the Beis HaMikdash, even that would have been Dayenu. Then we chazer, we review. Al Achas Kama V'chama Toiva Chifula U'michu Peles Lamakam Aleinu. And we begin, Shotzion and Mitzrayim, V'yasavayim Shefatim, V'yasav Elohim, V'harig Esbichorayim, V'chul V'chul, and we go to the very, very end, and we come to the Beis HaBechira, V'anu Lanu Es Beis HaBechira, and you would expect to stop right there. But you don't. And also, what do you have to review? What's the purpose of reviewing? Why do you need to review? We said already, Dayenu, Dayenu, Dayenu. Why do we have to review? Because the sum is greater than the parts. And what is the sum? The sum concludes one alone with space abachira, lichaper al kol avoinoy seinu. After everything is said and done, there's one more thing that we add in the summary. The sum is greater than the parts. What is included in the sum? We achieve atonement for our sins. Pesach is over. So what have we accomplished? Here we are, Pesach is over, we look back, spent all this money, after going on a diet, we are going to clean up the house, right, from all of the turmoil of all the grandchildren that come to the house, v'chulu. What's the bottom line? What have we taken out of Pesach? What have we gained? We have gained, Baal HaGadah says, when you want to review the entire sequence of events, you've gained lichaper al kol avoinoseinu. You take a hard look at yourself. You examine yourself under a microscope and you realize that we have shortcomings, that this experience has caused us to look deep into ourselves and to make ourselves into better people and to atone for our shortcomings. The word lichaper al avoinoseinu doesn't just mean you didn't have the era. It means to become a better person. And Hashem has given us a gift. And the gift is, He has arranged that the parsha that we lane in a normal year, and this is the normal year, where we don't group together any parshas after you finish Pesach, is Parshas Achrimos, which teaches us the sequence of events to achieve the ultimate lichaper al kol avoinoy senu. Ki vayoyim hazeh yichaper aleichem letaher eschem mikol chato sechem asher lifnei Hashem. It's the ultimate. And as we said, this is much more significant than laning this parasha on Yom Kippur. Because when you lane it on Yom Kippur, it's not the world of reality. You hype yourself up 40 days in advance, you're eating, you're fasting, you can't survive when you're fasting, you have to have a good meal every once in a while. It's not the world of reality. It's necessary, it's very good, it's very beautiful, it's very holy, it's the holiest day of the year. But when you do something in the normal sequence of your daily activity, in the world of reality, in practical existence, this is life. This is the real deal. And it's not by an accident that Parashas Acharimos is the conclusion of the Yom Tov of Pesach. Just like in the Dayenu, the bottom line is, the summary of the whole Yom Tov all comes down to Rivonu Lomnes Beis HaMechira L'chaper Al Kol Avonoseinu. This Shabbos is the Chasima of Chodesh Nisan. It's the last day of Chodesh Nisan. Rav Torah is Mocher Chodesh. Sunday is Rosh Chodesh. Mevarchim Chodesh Iyar. What's the sum game? The sum game is introspection. To become better. L'chaper Al Kol Avonoseinu. It's Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur in a much better way, better than Yom Kippur. It's more Yom Kippur than Yom Kippur because it's natural. It's part of our natural Seder Hayom, part of the natural cycle, the Seder sequence of the day of our life. Okay, now, that introduction, let's go with Stephanie. There's another very significant thing that we begin the parasha with, and this is a little controversial, but I never held this back. And that is, the beginning of the parasha begins with Acharei Mois Shnei B'nei Aharon. We mention, incidentally, the death of Aaron's two children. Aaron's two children died in the worst possible time, in the middle of the greatest celebration of Klal Yisrael, when they were celebrating the Hakamas HaMishkan, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Here we are tomorrow, on the last day of Chodesh Nisan, and we're mentioning an event that took place on the first day of Chodesh Nisan, the day of the Hakamas HaMishkan, the day of Yom HaShmini, the Shmini LaMiluim, when the two children of Aaron were niftar, tragedy, two young people whose lives were cut short. Chazal, we learn this on Yom HaKippurim. Chazal tells us on Yom HaKippurim that a person must cry. He must bring himself to tears when they lain Acharei Mois Shnei B'nei Aharon, and if he does so, it's very good for him. It is a very great protection that Rachman Lutzal, he should never in his life have to suffer to see such a horrible thing, such a thing like this of Acharei that Aharon lost his two children. Now it's interesting. It doesn't say, not that I'm aware of, that a person should bring himself to cry tomorrow. I never saw anywhere that if on Yom Kippurim a person should bring himself to cry when he reads these words. It does not say, I'm not aware, maybe, that a person should fill himself up to the best of his ability with emotion to try to imagine the pain of Aaron HaKohen when we lay in this tomorrow. According to what we said, according to this idea, which is not just my idea, that when you lay in this Acharei Mois part of the Seder HaDvarim, it's even there is a dimension which is even more significant. I would imagine that there is also an element that a person should focus on this tragedy, put yourself in the position, put yourself in Aaron HaKohen's shoes, and on this day of Simcha, where he was the Kohen Gadol, and it was the shlemus of this world to suffer such a horrible tragedy, which is beyond understanding, the ultimate of Tzadik V'Raloi, it's something to cry about. It just goes to show how little we know, how little we understand, how weak we are, and how we are 100% in the hands of Hashem. Now let's go one thing at a time. I want to make a point. Is it really possible for a person to put himself in the shoes of Aaron? Aaron didn't wear shoes, by the way, when he did the Avodah. But is it really possible to put yourself in the position of Aaron, I couldn't cry? I think it's impossible. But what I think Chazal means to say is that unfortunately we all know and are aware, Rachmana Litzlan, of young people that we know who have passed away way, way before their time. So when it says here to cry over Nadav Avihu, it doesn't necessarily mean only the actual biological children of Aaron HaKohen. It means the modern day Nadav Avihus that we know firsthand. Remember last year there was a Chosn Kal on Pesach, it was killed, a horrific car accident. That's just a Rahman al-Slam, one of many Rahman al-Slam. But every single person knows of young people who have left this world way before their time. They are the Nadav Vavius of our generation. And when the Pasuk mentions Achar Emos, Shnei B'nei Aaron, Chazal tell us to cry, it doesn't just mean Nadav Vavius Mamish, it means to dwell upon this theme. It's very interesting that it appears here in Parashas Achrimos, which is the parasha we learned this year after Pesach, and in a year that's not a leap year, we mentioned it also. What would be the parasha that we learned after Pesach? Shmini. And what does it say in Shmini? The entire story of Nadav Avihu is spelled out in detail. So you can't escape it. After Pesach is over, you cannot escape being reminded about the tragedy of a young person dying before his time. Now, why do I bring this up? Yesterday was called in society Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Memorial Day. Among the B'nai Torah, we discussed this yesterday. It's not really observed in any significant way, if not at all. Why? There are many reasons why. There are many reasons which we're not going into a discussion. When the question was posed to the Gedolei Yisrael generations ago, should there be a day to commemorate the Holocaust? It was a very complicated matter. And there were many Gedolei Yisrael which had very different opinions on the matter. It's not our discussion. It's not our discussion, and it is what it is. However, the bottom line is that in society, in Eretz Yisrael, and in all over the world, there are many, many people who do observe this day, yesterday, as an observance to commemorate the tragedy of the Kedusha. And there are halachic issues. It's Chodesh Nisan, it's not necessarily the time. That's not our, but the point is, it is what it is. And if you cannot, you have to be blind not to go online and see every media, every form of media across the board, from the most Haredi to the most secular, articles, images, videos of observance in various degrees of the Holocaust. It's not a coincidence that the Pasuk here after Pesach in Chodesh Nisan mentions opening header of Chodesh Nisan, whether it's going to be in a regular year when you learn Parsha Shmini and it's Chodesh Nisan, or whether it's going to be Parsha Achrimos, begins with a mention of tragedy. So it's not something you just ignore. Now, Rav Meir told me something very, very fascinating. Now, let me give you another hakdama. When something happens in this world, we have an obligation. If the way society interprets an event is incorrect according to our hashkafa, it is not the correct thing just to ignore it and abandon, just turn your face. If the world is taking note of something and you're a religious, observant, Orthodox Jew, it's your duty to interpret it in the correct form. If there's something that you feel is wrong with their interpretation, so adorable. What is the proper perspective of what is something to learn from? I'll give you just another example which really shook me up just to a degree, and then we'll come back to this. Last week, there was a massive fire in the Church of Notre Dame. This was the church which authorized the burning of the Talmud, the 24 cartloads of Talmud Bavli, all of its commentators. While the church was still burning, Now, that happened 777 years ago. And the tragedy of the Sreifas HaTalmud was a tragedy like none other, and had major, major consequences, ramifications, ad hayoyim hazeh. So, what's the significance of this? Everyone immediately cited the kina of the Barami Randberg, where he cursed them, he mamished in the kina, he cursed the church. The day will come when someone will set fire in your palaces, and you'll suffer for what you've done to our Torah, you've burned our Torah. The day will come. Mamash is Mamash Nevuah. Mamash outright Nevuah in this kina that he composed approximately 777 years ago, whatever it was, whatever, whenever, how much later in his life he composed it. It's incredible. Okay, very nice. And therefore what? And therefore what? Well, there is a very interesting lesson to learn. And the lesson is, while the church was still burning, and was still up in flames, already the Goyim, prominent people all over the world, pledged to rebuild it. The money that came in is astronomical. Over $1 billion, could be it's even a lot more, could be it's even more, could be it's many billions. Many billions, at least $1 billion already poured in pledges while it was still burning. So what do you learn from that? It's very simple. If the Goyim can go and pledge while it's still burning $1 billion to rebuild Sheker, a church that's built on a religion that is Kula Sheker, Al Achas Kama V'Kama, is it not our obligation to pledge $100 billion, $1,000 billion to repair, to restore the Chof Dalit, the 24 cartloads of Talmud, which is Kuli MS? Maybe you'll say that for the last 777 years, the Jewish people didn't have the money. The money wasn't there. People were so poor, they can barely survive just to live. But Rabbeisai, today, there are a lot of poor people. Don't kid me. You don't have to get, we all, Rahman al-Islam, but the money is there. We all see what's going on out there in the Jewish world. There is, the money is there. $100 billion is there. Jewish money. No one would know it's missing. If the Goyim can pledge $1 billion to restore Sheker, the time has come to look at this world event in the lens of the Jew, to rebuild, to restore the 24 cartloads of Talmud that was burnt in front of this church. Now let's go now to Yom HaShoah. Yom HaShoah, again, we didn't make the decision, it's here, it is what it is. And Mayor Tom said something very, very fascinating. I never knew this, maybe you all know this, is that the Yom HaShoah, it's commemorated, the day was selected as the day when the Warsaw Uprising began. Okay, the ghetto, they put all the Jews in this teeny little ghetto, they tortured them, and they decided it's now time to liquidate all of the Jews. And the Jews decided, very unique situation, we're not going to allow ourselves to be killed, we're going to fight. Resistance! We're not going to accept this garbage. And they fought. How long did it take the war? They thought they would wipe them out in one day. They thought the whole thing would take place in one day. They would liquidate all the Jews, all this, whatever was left there in one day. There was resistance, and it went on for at least a month. Well, not how long did it go for? A month?
3.5 weeks,
almost an entire month. With Jewish resistance. So, the founders of the state, those who won the day, they took pride in this Jewish resistance, and there's a lot to be said about it from a religious orthodox perspective. No one's putting that down. This is something that they focused on very, very much, not to let this happen again, to focus on Jewish resistance, and this was the day selected. Okay, fine. Okay. Is that a Torah Hashkafa? You can argue, you can debate this. Many felt it's not. But you can, not necessarily, you can debate this forever and ever, wherever the issue is.
It's a very big mashalot about Nachum Zember.
Right, Nachum Zember. Right, exactly. But even Nachum Zember, he was in the situation.
He was there.
He was there. But the question is, if he would commemorate, what would he do when he would commemorate? Would he focus on the day of the resistance? Or would he focus on the Holocaust and the general theme? This is not necessarily the theme to focus on when you want to commemorate. Okay, that's not our topic of discussion. But you have to acknowledge that on yesterday was the day in the calendar when the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, decided to destroy the Warsaw Ghetto. Now, why did they want to destroy the Warsaw Ghetto? This is a very important piece of information which Mayor Appeldorf told me. Because they wanted to give a gift to Hitler, Yimach Shemam, very unique. There was no liquidation of any ghetto that I'm aware of that was planned as a gift, a token to the leader. A token they wanted, it was his birthday, right? Yesterday was the birthday, the Hebrew date. It was his birthday. We want to give a birthday present to the birthday boy. So what are we going to do? We're going to take all of the Kedoshim Mutahoidim Kizoya Harakia, and we're going to kill them. And this will be the matana to the leader of the Nazi party. That's what they did yesterday on the Hebrew calendar days. So, unfortunately, those who focused on making this as a day to commemorate, that was not their focus. Their focus is Jewish resistance. Okay, that's something which is to discuss. That's not our topic. But when you want to, if they're taking note that this day is very significant, let's take a look at this day. Let's analyze this day. It's a horror. It's a horror. Because the Goyim, our enemies, to go, to take, to destroy us as a way of giving a gift to their leader, this is a day of horror that is unimaginable. How do I know it's a day of horror that's unimaginable? Because this is exactly taken out of the playbook of what's going to happen when Mashiach comes in the opposite way. It says in the Pasuk, Yovilu Shai Lamoire. They will bring, the Umayis Ha'olam will deliver a gift. A Shai means a gift, Lamoire, to the leader. Who is the Moire? Chazal interpret this? To the Melech HaMashiach. All of the Umayis Ha'olam will decide the Melech HaMashiach is here. Mashiach has come. Let us present him with a matana. What are you going to give the Melech HaMashiach? You're going to give him a CD? You're going to give him a new smartphone? What are you going to give? What are you going to give him? You give him a piece of steak? What are you, a steak dinner? What are you going to give the Moire? What's the Shai? So I couldn't find the pasuk today. I apologize. I looked in search of very fine law. I couldn't find it today. I didn't search hard enough. But I have no doubt. I know there's a pasuk, the Farish pasuk in Yeshaya. And Chazal attached to this pasuk that says, they're going to give him the Shomais. They're going to open up all the secret archives. And they're going to look at the Yichus of Klal Yisrael. And they're going to go in, they're going to be people living in America, people living in Australia, people living in Hong Kong, and the authorities are going to break open the door and they're going to say, we have archives, we've made an investigation, you are Jewish! You are the great-great-grandson of Rashi! You are the great-great-grandson of the Rambam! You're the Einikol of a Shagas Aryeh! You didn't even know this! You're living in the middle of Wisconsin. You're living in the middle, you're on a farm. You don't even know who you are. Well, we know who you are because we have access to information that you don't have. You're a holy neshama. What are you doing here? Mashiach is here. We're taking you now and we're bringing you as a gift. Hashovas Aveda, Yovilu Shai Lamoira, we're going to deliver all of the lost neshamas. We're going to return them to the Melech HaMashiach to give these lost neshamas as a gift to bring them back to Yiddishkeit. What had happened yesterday? The Nazis had a moire, had a leader, and they decided they're going to yovilu shai la moire. They're going to deliver a gift to their moire. And you know what the gift is? They're going to take every Yiddish neshama, every kodosh v'tahor, and they're going to murder them. They're going to spill their blood. And when are they going to do? When do they do this? Right after Pesach. What is Pesach all about? V'yotzeisi, v'yitzalti, v'go'alti, v'lokachti, the template of Geula, Eshlach, b'yad, what's the pasuk is the whole story of Pesach teaches us the template for Yemois HaMashiach, the coming of Mashiach. What is the Haftorah on Acharon Shel Pesach? V'yotza Netzer Migeza Yishai. The Haftorah, the climax of Acharon Shel Pesach, is the Moire, is the Melech HaMashiach has arrived. And when the Melech HaMashiach has arrived, what do? Yovilu Shai LaMoire. You restore all of the Yiddish neshamas are restored to the Moire. And Rachmana Litzlan, what happened at this and yesterday? The Zionists have brought this to our attention. There's resistance, okay. That's true. It's true. It's something to be discussed. As you mentioned, Rabbi Nachman Zemler. But there's something much more significant. Once they've already brought this to our conscience, there's something much more significant. They've taken the principle of Yovilu Shai LaMoire and have abused it, defiled it, to a degree that's not even possible to express in words. Instead of bringing the neshamas to the Melech HaMashiach, they've taken the neshamas of Klal Yisrael and brought it to the devil to destroy. And it's not something you could ignore. It's the calendar date. It's not necessarily something that we would have decided to do, but we did not make this decision. And when we read the words, Acharei Mois, Shnei B'nei Aharon, which have been selected by Chazal to read in this parsha, they made the calendar. They know what they were doing. They put the parsha here in Chodesh Nisan. You lay the parsha in Chodesh Nisan, the last day of Chodesh Nisan. Here it is. And Chazal say, when you read these words, if you don't cry, you're in trouble. And it doesn't just mean Nodav, Vavihu, the B'nai Aharon, the biological children. It means the equivalent, the modern day Nodav Vavihu, whose lives have been snuffed out way, way too early. And who more than the 6 million Kedoshim, whose lives just came to an end in an instant? Who is there more than the Shnei B'nai Aharon Nodav Vavihu? It's not something to ignore. It's not something you just brush off. They've brought to our attention, yesterday is a day, a memorial of the Warsaw Uprising. Okay? It's something significant. The world is recognizing this day. If we are religious Orthodox Jews who have our issues with secular Zionism, and we don't have to apologize for them, we don't have to hide any facts that there's lots of issues, but if they brought this to our attention, let's take a good hard look at what this day is about. And there's a lot to discuss, especially in light of Shnei B'nai Aharon, and especially in light of coming out of Pesach, which climaxes with the Yotza Netzer Migeza Yishai, the Harichoi Biyiras Elokim, Ruach Chochma Unuvuah, Ruach Eitzu Gvur, Ruach Das, Biyiras Elokim, the whole Aftoira, this is the Shlemus of Pesach, Yevilu Shai LaMoire. It's something to take pause, it's something to reflect upon and think about. Okay, let's now go on to another topic. came across something very, very fascinating. Very, very fascinating machlokes in the Yerushalmi. Amazing machlokes. It's a small point, but I think it speaks volumes, this idea. On Yom Kippur, Gesundheit, on Yom Kippur, there is in Yerushalmi a machlokes as to exactly what moment in time Klal Yisrael achieves atonement. There's a steer. On the one hand, it's mashma from Mori Chazal, the moment they throw the Sohir La'azazel off the cliff, goodbye, that's the moment of atonement. How do you know this? Because they took wool, they dyed it crimson, red, nice, stark red, like a mayor's book over there, this bag over there. We're waiting for it to turn white. And when it turned white, this was a sinim in Hashanayim, you're forgiven. On the other hand, the Pasuk says, Ki bayoyim hazeh yechaper aleichem lefnei Hashem yikol chato seichem lefnei Hashem tetaru. It says that the itzumay shel yoyim has nothing to do with the Sohar La'azazel. So what is it? What is it? Is it the day? And the day is at the end of the day, the beginning of the day. Where exactly does the atonement come? So to make a long story short, the Yerushalmi concludes, based upon the interpretation of the commentators, an incredible insight. What happens if they throw the Azazel off the cliff and the wool remains bright red? What happens? What happens if they throw the animal off the cliff and the wool remains bright red? What does that mean? No atonement. Panic mode. Hashem didn't forgive us. When's the next chance? Next year. A whole year? I gotta carry my sins on my shoulder a whole year? I can't do that. A whole year? Is that what it really means? So the farmers say, no. Backup plan. If when they throw the Azazel off the cliff, it remains bright, don't worry. There's a pasuk in the Torah that has as a safety net. Ki bayoyim hazeh yichaper aleichem lefnei Hashem yikol chatoiseichem. The day will forgive you. But when will the day forgive you? The very last moment. Ni'ilah. When they close those gates, and you're saying, Hashem, Hu Elokim, Hashem, Hu Elokim, you get to number 7, make sure you count right, don't make any mistakes, that's the last moment of the day, that's when you get the kapara. So if you're roy, you're a good guy, cloud your shoulders on a high spiritual level, when do you get kapara? When they throw, the crimson turns white, they throw the sohya. If you're not 100%, you got some issues, no, I'll have rachmanis on you anyway. Just wait a couple of hours. When did they throw the animal off the cliff? Midday, it seems, right? It seems sometime in the afternoon. Whatever it was, early afternoon, it seems. That's what it seems to be the calculation. Maybe mid-afternoon, maybe late afternoon. But it's earlier than Tzeisak Echavim. The animal was thrown off the cliff before Tzeisak Echavim, that's for sure. So what's the big deal? What's the whole difference? If we're good people, then they throw the animal off the cliff. We get kapara, let's say 2 o'clock. If we're not such good people, so we get kapara, 6 o'clock. The whole difference. And in fact, there's a beautiful medrash. The medrash dies the pasuk in the medrash in Eicha. And if you're zoiche, then if you're zoiche, how does it go? It's a beautiful medrash. Did I write it down? No, I didn't write it down. If you're zoiche, if you're not zoiche, the tum osa bishilecha, the tumah will be in your hems. Which means if you're zoiche, you're going to get kapara in the middle of the day. If you're not zoiche, it'll come at the end of the day when the sun sets, ki b'yoyim hazeh. So the question, what's the big deal? a couple of hours? The whole thing is a few hours? That's the whole thing, kapara? If we're good guys, we get kapara at 2 o'clock. If we're bad guys, we got to wait until the end of the day. You know, doesn't crime pays? We'll be bad guys. We'll do a little bit. So we'll wait a couple. So it's kedai to go to do a couple of affairs. So we'll wait. We'll pay our fee. We'll wait a couple of hours. Really, a few hours makes such a big difference? I know if you're a real kano, you'll tell me, yeah, chayisho every second. All right, okay, I understand. Yevud. But I want to say another idea. I think it's a small point. I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, but I think there's something over here to be said, and that is, what happened at the same time when they threw the Sarah Lazazel off the cliff? What was happening at the same exact moment in time? As Chazal, they emphasize this to a very large degree. The Kohen Gadol was in the Ezras Nashim on a bima, reading the Torah. He was teaching the Torah. He was reading this parasha, Acharei Mos. He was laning parashas Acharei Mos. Now you have to appreciate, Kriyas HaTorah is the Ikor Talmud Torah. We think Talmud Torah means you learn in brisk, right? You go to Eretz Yisrael, you learn, you get into brisk, you sit and learn in brisk, or you learn in Kol Chazor Nish on the top of the mountain in B'nai Barak. No. That's not called. The Ikor Talmud Torah is Kriyas HaTorah. When they lane Monday, Thursday, they lane a few psukim. We don't appreciate this, but that's Talmud Torah. That's where it all starts and ends. Talmud Torah is Kriyas Torah. The Kohen Gadol is the holiest Jew in Klal Yisrael. He, on Yom HaKippurim, you know what he does when he finishes doing the service? He's a Malamed. He's a Rebbe. He's a Rosh Hashiva. He teaches Torah. He lanes Kriyas HaTorah in the Ezras Noshim on a bima. The Gans Klal Yisrael, they come to listen to the Shir. He's teaching Torah. The same time he's teaching Torah, the Azazel is on its way off a cliff. The same time. So listen to what's going on over here. If Klal Yisrael is Zoyche to Kapara, when they throw the Azazel off the cliff, you know what that means? It means when they're sitting in by the shear of the Kohen Gadol, they're learning Torah b'kedusha uvitahara. But if when they throw the Azazel off the cliff, the wool does not turn white and Hashem doesn't forgive them, no big deal. You'll be forgiven a couple of hours from now. But when you're sitting, Klal Yisrael is sitting at the shear of the Kohen Gadol, the miluchluch b'chit. They're learning Torah in a amatziv of tumah, of contamination. They're soiled with chait, and they're listening to the Rosh Hashiva give a shear. He's giving a shear. And in my mind, I'm thinking about who knows what. The Gemara talks about Acher. Acher had underneath the table, he had Greek philosophy books. Right under the table, as the Rebbe was giving of a shir, he's reading. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm a smart guy. I can listen to a few conversations at the same time. I'm going to be reading the Greek philosophy while you're giving the shir. The Gemara is because he was learning Torah in a state of contamination. You don't go learn Greek philosophy when you learn Torah. When you're at the shir, you learn Torah. You want to go learn Greek philosophy, so when the shir is over, you go learn Greek philosophy. We'll have a discussion. Torah umada, term der cheretz. Good, you have a discussion. But when you go to the shir, you don't go learn the Greek philosophy. In the base medrash, there are no Greek philosophy books. When you're learning Torah, you learn the Torah b'kedusha uvitahara. If when they threw the Asar La'azazel off the cliff, the wool turned white, you know what that means for Klal Yisrael? It means that on Yom HaKippurim, Klal Yisrael is sitting and learning Torah like a Tinoikoy Shel Beis Rabban B'Kedusha Uvitahara. What greater Sechus is there for Klal Yisrael? But if when they throw the Azazel off the cliff, business as usual, There's no kapara. Hashem says, I'm sorry, you have not done teshuvah adequately. I can't forgive you. I'll forgive you in a couple of hours, but not now. So what does that mean for us? We're sitting, God's klal Yisrael is sitting and learning Torah. Meluchluch b'chet. You're all a bunch of phonies. You're all a bunch of phonies. You're sitting in Beis Medrash, shuckling with a beard and payas, and learning in Kol Chazonish. You're all a bunch of phonies. You're meluchluch b'chet. Wow. And it's Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yisai. You're sitting your fakers on Yom Kippur. Major, major difference. You'll get your kapara at the end of the day. It's only a few hours. But what about in the middle of it? It's not just, oh, chaye shah. I don't know about these esoteric little things. It's very nice. It's true. Maminim b'nei maminim, what it means, chaye shah. It's very hard to understand what all that means. But this we can appreciate. We can appreciate how are you presenting yourself lifnei Hashem on this holy day when you come, when you relate to Torah. And especially, let's not forget, Rabbi Yisai, when did we get the Torah? On Yom Kippur. The Torah that we got on Vav Sivan did not last very long. Moshe Rabbeinu came down and shattered the Luchos. You had to go up for another 80 days and come down on Yom HaKippurim with the Luchos Shniyos. Here is Kabbalah Satorah. It's Kabbalah Satorah Yom HaKippurim. Are you a bunch of phonies or are you the real deal? That's the nafkamina if the Tupsukim. Ki ba Yom HaZed, the end of the day, Tum Tum Asah B'Shilecha, the Torah goes until the very, very end, or is the Kapara come with the Soher La'azazel. Okay, let's do another vart. I'm running out of time, another vart. Okay, this is also a very subtle idea. I better tell you something else before we get out. I change gears because we're running out of time, so let me change gears and talk about the Haftarah. Okay, the Haftarah tomorrow is a beautiful Haftarah. Not so often to lane. Vayoymer, Yoynason, Yoynason, Mochar, Chodesh, Venifkadita, Moshavecha. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. David, you're going to be absent. Go into hiding. We're going to, there's something wrong. Shaul HaMelech, who has been anointed by Shmuel. Shmuel told him, you're done. You're toast. I'm taking away the Malchus. I'm giving it L'Reyacha HaToiv Mimcha. I'm giving it to your fellow who's better than you. And Shaul can't live it down. Shaul knows it's leaving him. The Kedusha of Malchus is leaving him. He's paranoid. Today, in the medical world, they'll probably label him. Who knows what they'll label him? They'll throw every label they have in the book at him. They'll analyze every pasuk. They'll put all these funny labels. That's not funny, Rahman al-Islam. And who knows what kind of medication they would prescribe to Shaul HaMelech when they read about what his behavior and his conduct. Dov is really, really off the charts paranoid. And David, Yohanneson says, David, you know, we got to figure this out. We got to see what's doing. Let's do a test. Go out into the field. I'm going to test the waters. I'm going to come back to you in 3 days or 2 days, whatever. In 3 days, I'm going to throw the arrows. I'm going to send out my nar. Go out into the field. I'm going to shoot the arrows. If I say to the nar, Viter, go, the arrows have landed past where you're standing. It's not a good sign. It means run away. Shaul wants to kill you. But if I say to the Nar, come closer. You've gone too far. Come back. That is a simon. Everything is okay. Okay, there's a discussion why you need this whole elaboration. That's not for now. There's a whole other topic of discussion. Why. But that's what was done. And the Pasuk says, they did this, they did it, it was not good. And there's one part of that really resonates with me. And that is, V'hanar lo yoda me'uma. The nar was totally oblivious to what was happening around him. The whole world is in turmoil. Klal Yisrael, you're changing kings, Shaul to David. The whole Klal Yisrael, we're talking about Nitzrius. The whole purpose of creation is all told in the Malchus of David. And what does it say here in the Haftarah? It says, they're using this nar, and all of this is happening, v'hanar lo yoda mi'uma, had no clue what's going on. He's a pawn in the hands of Shaul, hands of Yehoinathan and David, and the whole world is hanging on a thread. The whole Pamalia Shalmaila, Pamalia Shalmat, the ganze Welt, is focused. Who's the king? Shaul, David. You need a Melech HaMashiach. Malchus, Melech HaMashiach. What's going to be? And this little guy, he's in the middle of it. He's mamish, the middle of the whole story. V'hanar lo yoda me'uma. Why do we learn this Haftarah tomorrow? Well, you'll say, V'yomu lo yohanesan, mochor chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Okay, very nice. Yesh shekoyach, mochor chodesh. Thank you very much. Really, is that really where it all starts and ends? Come on. I mean, you're in kindergarten, they'll tell you, you learn this because it says, Mocha Chodesh. It's a nice announcement to the people in the shul. Don't forget, we'll learn this chapter. Come on. And Chazal was so simplistic. They were so simplistic, and they told us to learn this because it says, Mocha Chodesh. Is that really what it's all about? Come on. You're here in Koilel. You're here in Koilel. It's got to be more complicated than that. It's got to be much more complicated than that. And I want to suggest what it means here is, what is Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Hadin. Rosh Chodesh, in a sense, is even more powerful than Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. For one very simple reason. It's the combination of both together. In the beginning of the year, we break them up. We have Rosh Hashanah, it's a Yom Tov, new year, everything is fun and wonderful, the Yom HaDin, everything is gewaldig, Hashem's going to give us every last thing that we want, plus a lot more. And then we realize, you know, maybe it didn't go where we thought. Now we have to go into 10 days of emergency shutdown. Because, you know, it did not go according to plan in Rosh Hashanah. We got to do Teshuvah. And the climax is Yom Kippurim. So we break it up. Kapara, Atonement. Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Tov. Chazal tell us it's a Yom Hadin. It's a Me'ein of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the big the whole year. And every Rosh Chodesh is a minor Rosh Hashanah. But it's also Yom Kippur. Rosh Chodeshim la'amcha nosata ziman kapora lechol tol doisam. It's a ziman kapora. Rosh Hashanah in the year is not a ziman kapora. You bring a karmen chatos, but it's not the ikar ziman kapora. Yom Kippurim ki bayoyim hazeh yechapur aleichem. We break it up. Rosh Chodesh is the combination. It's a miniature combination of the Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. Chazal said Rosh Hashanah, what is Rosh Hashanah? We're like kivnei moroin, like sheep who pass kivakoras roye edroi, like a shepherd inspects his flock. What is he inspecting his flock for? What purpose? Maiser behema. What else does a roye have to inspect his flock? All of the animals pass before the shepherd. He counts one at a time, and every number 10, he gives a zetz. And what goes on the zetz? A little red paint. A little red paint. And the animal goes into the pen and plays nicely with all the toys and all of the underkindlach. This one has a red stain, this one has a red stain, that one. What does the red stain mean? V'hanar lo yoda me'uma. The sheep has no clue why it has a red mark. We know why it has a red mark. Because tomorrow, you're going to be taken to the slaughter. You're going to be slaughtered as a korban to Hashem. Is the sheep nervous? Is it doing teshuvah? The Yom Hadin is here for me. My time is up. The Hanar lo yada ne'um. Don't you realize your life is at stake? Maybe you should run away. V'hanar lo yodam uma. V'yoymer lo yehoinason mochar chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is not a simple day. Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Hadin. Rosh Chodesh is also a miniature Yom HaKippurim. Rosh Chodoshim la'amcha nosota ziman kapara l'chol toidesa. When we lay in the Haftarah, we're reminding, don't be like the Nar. The world is in a state of turmoil. Things are happening. Things are being decided. Your fate is at risk. Everything is up in the air. It's a Yom Hadin. It's a very serious day. V'ayom lo yohoynes on machar chodesh. And unfortunately, what are we? We are that nar. V'hanar lo yoda ne'uma. And the avoda of Rosh Chodesh is to wisen up. And bet we are the nar lo yoda ne'uma. That we have no choice. But at least if we go into Rosh Chodesh, a new transition point in the year, which is a me'ein of Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, with a little year HaShemayim, it may change the playing field. It may change the outcome. It may be a little bit more in our favor. All right, Bosai, have a wonderful Shabbos, a wonderful Rosh Chodesh. And in Yirtz Hashem, see you all on Monday.